So when Jill was speaking, well, to the children, but to us all as well, she used a well-known saying. Well, let me use another well-known saying to start off my talk. Patience is a virtue. And that phrase has been around for many hundreds of years, and you're all probably very familiar with using it, maybe less so now, but certainly in the past. But what does it actually mean? Well, the word virtue means moral excellence, goodness, or righteousness. So that would mean having patience is good or righteous. Now, as with most popular phrases, the origin of the phrase is a little bit blurred, but my extensive research, good old Google, indicates that the phrase "of human virtues, patience is the most great" appeared as far back as the 3rd century-ish. In 1360, the English poet William Langland wrote in his poem Piers Plowman the line, "Patience is a fair virtue." And for those of you who've read the Canterbury Tales, you will be aware that the phrase "patience is a high virtue" was used. Now, interesting though that may be, and by your faces I can tell you are enthralled, the more important fact, of course, is that the phrase has biblical origins. In Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14, patience is specifically listed as a virtue, along with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, forgiveness, and love. So undoubtedly, patience is an important personal trait. Now, patience is defined as the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. And so this morning's challenge to us all is, how can we be better at waiting, to be better at waiting patiently, to be better at waiting without getting anxious or in a bit of a tiz? And as Jill's already shared with us, waiting's simply a fact of life, whether it's waiting for the kettle to boil, the dinner to cook, waiting for husband, wife, children to get ready, waiting to be served in a restaurant, waiting in traffic, waiting for a holiday, waiting for some good news, waiting for results, and so on. And in church, we're waiting for a new minister. People in our church family are waiting for hospital appointments and procedures. People are waiting for prayers to be answered. So the rhetorical question is, how individually do we cope with waiting? Is patience one of our virtues, or do we let ourselves get anxious? Do we remain relaxed, or do we become worried, stressed, or even a little bit tetchy? And for those of us who do struggle with waiting, the big question is why? Why is waiting so hard? Why can't we just be patient? And it seems to come down to the fact that we're not in control. The fact that we can't do much or sometimes anything about the thing that we're waiting for. We'll come back to that later. But as we think this morning specifically about waiting on God, let's remind ourselves of a couple of biblical commands. The clicker's not working there, Peter. That's because I've not turned it on. See, you were waiting for that. In Psalm 37, verse 7, it says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." In Psalm 27, verse 14, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." So what do we mean by waiting on God? Well, I suppose in its simplest sense, it means waiting for God to make something happen. But as a caveat to that, I don't think that that necessarily means that we passively just sit and wait without doing anything, waiting for God to sort it out. I think that we have to face up to reality sometimes and consider using our God-given gifts and opportunities to do what we can to make stuff happen, to do our bit, albeit with God's guidance. Now, as Jill's already said, in many cases, waiting on God is about waiting for God to answer our prayers and believing that he will. Now, I presume as Christians, we do believe that. But in our waiting, we also have to accept, and we have to really accept, that he will not necessarily answer them in the way that we want, or indeed when we want. As Christians, we believe God has a plan for us, that he loves and cares for us, that he wants the best for us. And so, of course, he will answer our prayers. Eventually. But when God answers our prayers with a wait, it's easy to forget what we believe about God's promises and to worry, to lose patience and lose trust. As the saying goes, we can choose to worry or we can choose to trust God. Now, those are an incredible 12 words to hang on to in difficult times. We can choose to worry or we can choose to trust God. We choose. And why do we worry? Because we're waiting for something and we don't know how it'll turn out. We worry because we're having to wait. But to worry is to doubt God. So we can't worry and truly believe in God. We can choose to worry or we can choose to trust God. In Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7, Paul wrote, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." And then, of course, we need to trust God. But we shouldn't pray and then continue to worry, because that's not trusting God. We need to pray, we need to let go, hand it over and trust in God's amazing power. And I stand here and acknowledge that that's something I really struggle with at times, worrying about stuff, even when I prayed about it. There's lots of things that I know I need to let go of, hand them over and trust in God. And I'm trying. But when it comes to worrying, I confess that I am a work in progress. And how often have we worried about stuff which turned out fine? So many things we worry about turn out fine. Funny that. You'd almost think there's a greater power at work. And when it happens, perhaps we should remember not only to say thank you to God, but also to say sorry for our lack of trust. So what are you worried about today? Have you temporarily lost your trust in God? Perhaps before you leave church today, you might feel it's a good idea to pray about what's on your heart and then to let go, so that when you walk out of here, you're no longer burdened by worry, and then you can show the true face of God out there. And maybe we even need to pray, Lord, please help me not to worry. When you get to heaven and God says, is there anything you'd have liked to have done more of in your time on earth? I'm fairly sure you're not going to say, I'd have liked more time to worry, Lord. Jill gave us a statistic, was it three years out of 70 we spend waiting? I wonder how much time we spend worrying. So when we wait on God, it's a good reminder that having a real faith means that we have to accept that we're not in control and that we have to trust that God is. We have to go at God's pace, not at the frantic pace that we live our lives. God is not to be rushed. We have to truly believe in that phrase, God is rarely early, but he's never late. So why does God make us wait? And one of the challenges and frustrations of waiting for God is our belief that God can, of course, do anything at any time. In which case we might think, why doesn't he bring us help and answers immediately right now? And it's something Christians have wrestled with for years, and will probably continue wrestling with for years. Let me share with you some possible reasons as to why God may be making us wait, which maybe therefore will help you wait more patiently in the future. Well, as a headline point, I would say that God makes us wait because it makes us better people. I've been currently rereading John Ortberg's excellent book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. And it includes some interesting research carried out with children that showed that children who were better able to wait were more socially competent, better able to cope with stress, better able to handle pressure. Let's call them waiters. Children who found it difficult to wait, children who can't have what they want when they want it, were shown to be more stubborn, more indecisive, more easily upset by frustration, and more resentful. Let's call them grabbers. And so a clear and obvious conclusion from just that piece of research is that waiters have a higher quality of life. Well, there's your first reason why God might be making us wait. And or, maybe God makes us wait because getting something we wanted after waiting for it increases the pleasure we get when it finally happens or arrives. And or, maybe there's the increased pleasure of getting something that's even better than we thought we wanted. God often makes us wait, doesn't he? Because he knows that what we think we want now is not what we really need, and there's something better for us in the future. I believe that these days too many people have poor impulse control, the must-have-now mentality. They want everything now without working for it and without some waiting. There might be quick ways to get rich, quick ways to become famous. Sadly, it can become sometimes too easy to get married and then too easy to get divorced. It's made too easy to have new things because of finance options, to have it now, pay later. And dare I suggest there's been a fundamental change in personal values over the years. I'm sure that most of you have your own stories of making do in the past because of what you could and couldn't afford. Having an old battered car as your first one. Making do with hand-me-downs as you furnish your home and so on. But then, of course, after we'd saved up over time, we had the satisfaction, the pleasure that came from being able to buy better or even new things. And no debt. I really do believe this inability to control impulses, this refusal to wait patiently, has much to do with what's wrong with society today. And my final benefit of God making us wait is, if we weren't made to wait, we might miss out on other opportunities. Waiting allows us to get things in perspective. You think of when you're sat in a traffic queue. It can be frustrating. Some people even get angry because they're going to be late for something. But it needs perspective. Someone may be seriously injured in the crash. What is being late for a meeting or being late for a family get-together in comparison? You know, my point is that waiting becomes a time to recognise that others may be worse off than ourselves. It is a God-given opportunity to see things through a different lens. And when you are in, say, a traffic jam, we have to face up to it. You can't do anything about it. You're not in control. You are where you are. Getting tetchy, huffy, angry, frustrated helps no one, particularly you and the passenger. So instead, we should try to appreciate that we have been presented with another God-given opportunity to do something positive with time, to declutter, to think. Now, the best ideas often come to people when they're waiting and the mind is free. Or we take the time to listen to something nice or interesting on the radio. Or we just take the opportunity to just be. Or dare I say, we even have a chat with God while we're there. See, without being in that queue, you would never have had that time. Because you'd have been too busy rushing about. So we should be grateful for these times of waiting, and we should use that time well. And I suppose perhaps the benefits of waiting come down to the answering the question, who has the better quality of life? The frustrated, angry, stressed person, the grabber, or the relaxed, patient waiter? By making us wait, I believe that God is offering us something special, a better quality of life, if only we could actually see that. We deacons went out for a meal together a few weeks ago. Our conversation was, of course, deep, spiritual, philosophical. Okay, that's not true. Anne's going to tell me off for fibbing again. But one conversation that we had, and bearing in mind that quite a few of us on the diaconate are oldish and grumpyish, our conversation was about how children and probably people generally can't be bored anymore. Everything is there on tap. And Michelle, who is at the younger end of the age spectrum, who's with us, and she's not here, so I didn't even need to say that, but I said it anyway, to be kind. Michelle was reminiscing about how, as a young child, she would wait for a children's TV programme to start. You know, those days when children's TV programmes weren't available on tap 24 hours a day. And in that time of waiting, she'd do things like colouring or crafts or just look outside at the world. Now, lots of people these days talk about mindfulness. On the NHS website, it describes mindfulness as paying more attention to the present moment, to your own thoughts and feelings, and to the world around you. And it goes on to say how mindfulness can improve our mental well-being and how it can help us enjoy life more and understand ourselves better. And the website then goes on to suggest ways to improve mindfulness, which are just what Michelle was doing as a child, waiting for the TV programme to start. Being with her own thoughts, being creative, being aware of what's happening outside. It's not rocket science, is it? Waiting patiently for something is good for our mental well-being and our personal enjoyment. God knows that. He's just waiting for us to catch on. Now, inextricably tied up with waiting on God, as already mentioned, is trust. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17, it says, I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. But sometimes it's too easy to have convenient trust. I'll trust while I get what I want, when I want and how I want it. But if I don't get that, then I won't trust at the moment. That's convenient trust. That's placing trust in something when it suits us. But if we are to genuinely cope with waiting, we have to trust. Or more importantly, we have to patiently trust. We have to trust that God knows what he's doing. We have to trust his wisdom and timing. Not just when it's convenient, but all the time. And that's easier said than done sometimes. But do we trust that God has good reasons for saying, wait? And what if we get fed up with waiting? Well, the problem is, or the risk is, that we look to do things that we shouldn't. We try to force something to happen. We look for our own solutions. We cut corners. Our impatience leads us to inappropriate actions, to manipulations, to untruths, to inappropriate words, even in some occasions physical violence. Or sometimes people just drift or give up. We waste the gifts, talents and opportunities that God has given us. Now we may never understand why God lets certain things happen in our lives and the lives of others, but we have to trust that he cares for us. We have to trust he has a plan for us. We have to trust he loves us and trust in his power and trust in his grace and trust in his timing. Don't worry. Pray, trust and wait. The question is, will we wait on God in absolute patient trust? Reminds me of that tongue-in-cheek prayer. Lord, grant me patience, but please hurry. And then in all this waiting, there's also hope. Without hope, we give up. With hope, we hang on. I saw hope described as being like a fuel which keeps us going. It's a belief that something good will happen, a belief that God is at work in our lives and the lives of others. So waiting on God requires that we have unwavering hope. In Romans 8 verse 25 it says, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And in Micah 7 verse 7, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Saviour. My God will hear me. So whatever you're waiting for right now, whatever challenges you're facing this morning, whatever your concerns for yourself or others, let me leave you with these wise words to reflect on. With an absolute trust in God, we can face the challenges in our lives with hope, and while we hope, we patiently wait. With an absolute trust in God, we can face the challenges in our lives with hope, and while we hope, we patiently wait. Amen. Before we sing our closing song, I'd just like to share a prayer with you. It's actually from the prayer day that Izzy organised in February, and when I read it, the word struck me as being absolutely right for this morning. So let us pray. Lord, grant us the patience and trust to wait upon your perfect timing. Help us to see the possibilities that lie ahead and to trust in your divine purpose for our lives. May your hope shine brightly in our hearts and guide our steps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.